It's nice to have you here, and I warmly welcome you to the fifth in the series of our lectures of our 80th and 50th anniversary celebrations. I am very pleased to be with you once again, and I would like to thank you all for being here. I'm particularly referring to the chairman and the members of the National Media Commission, your excellencies, ambassadors of various countries who have accepted to be with us here, board members of GBC, past board members of GBC, past members of NMC, past directors general of the GBC, management and staff of GBC, media partners, ladies and gentlemen, you are all most welcome to this lecture. Like all of you, those of us who are here and those who are watching and listening, I am very excited to hear what the DG has to say about public service broadcasting, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the topic for today's lecture. Wondering what is inside this topic. My only reference to the good, the bad, and the ugly is about the film that was done by Clint Eastwood or something. I intend to find the good and the bad and the ugly in your lecture. Perhaps it's important to go down memory lane and look at the past 18 years, very briefly. But since the foundation of GBC some 80 years ago, there's no doubt that GBC has shaped the broadcasting industry in Ghana. It did so for the first 60 years as a monopoly. Indeed, GBC was the broadcasting industry in Ghana. There was no site, as they talk about it this time. But as you all know, this monopoly has been broken, and GBC now competes with commercial broadcasting stations, not only for adverts, but also for audiences. Indeed, the conversation about GBC as a public service broadcaster started emerging with the establishment of the National Media Commission under the 1992 Constitution, with the primary function of insulating state-owned media from governmental control. What really was the role of GBC for this? In the first series of lectures that we heard, we've been told that GBC operated as a state-owned organization. By state-owned, I mean the government of the day's more or less information tool. But when the British introduced radio in Ghana, with the establishment of television in 1965, by Sergeant Dr. Kwame Nkrumah of blessed memory, GBC, fully funded by the state, has been used as a propaganda tool by successive governments to secure the loyalty and support of citizens of the government of the day's agenda. In fact, in some years past, you could become a head of state by taking over the studios of GBC. It was common knowledge that the necessary ingredient for a successful coup was to gain control of GBC. Thank God we are in a new sensation. But that monopoly and the control of the airwaves by GBC also has some positive sides. One achievement, however, of this state monopoly over GBC's airwaves was that it forged a common sense of national identity. It has been argued, when a million people hear the same subject matter, the same arguments and appeals, when their attention is held in the same way and at the same time it is inevitable that they will acquire in some degree common interests, common tastes, and common attitudes. And this is good for development. Ladies and gentlemen, by the 1980s, however, this state monopoly of mass media in Ghana began to be questioned, with many arguing that opening up the airwaves would rather stimulate development. And though the 1992 Constitution made provision for the establishment of private radio and television stations, it was not until 1993 that open agitation on the need for government to free the airwaves began. The rest is history, and that history will be told at the appropriate time. However, with the opening up of the airwaves and the establishment of numerous radio and television stations throughout the country, giving way to dissenting views and opinions, many now began to question the relevance of GBC. I believe we need the public service broadcaster more than ever before. We in GBC are committed in our mission as a public service broadcaster. But the reality is that GBC continues to rely on the state for some resources, and indeed employees are paid by the state. Some other capital and operational expenses are funded through our own internally generated funds, but that's not enough. As the saying goes, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And GBC has been caught in this web over the years, leaving it with an identity crisis of whether it is a public service broadcaster, state-owned or government-controlled, or a public service broadcaster with a commercial orientation struggling to achieving financial independence and sustainability. In response to all of this, GBC has over the last 20 years been compelled to look critically at its role to be a public service broadcaster, operating in the national interest and for the public good, promoting national development and cohesion, looking for resources and funding, and not become the tool or mouthpiece of the government of the day or the political party in power. This has been a major challenge. However, for GBC to operate as a true public service broadcaster, it needs an adequate and independent source of funding. Whereas in GBC, the television license fee is the heart of this. Public service broadcasting is a public good on which public money should be properly spent. I am indeed very happy of the efforts that have been made in this direction towards the revision of the TV license fees. Ladies and gentlemen, like most of you who have had the privilege of working in this industry, I'm a passionate advocate of public service broadcasting, and I'm proud of the place of GBC as in the hearts and minds of Ghanaians. There's no denying that GBC radio and television has touched and continues to touch all our lives. Its influence on our social, cultural, and political activity is far-reaching and cannot be overemphasized. Every man, woman, and child has in one way or the other been touched by GBC. The 80th anniversary of GBC, therefore, is a celebration of more than a broadcasting station. It is indeed a celebration of the many lives GBC has impacted and changed, and it continues do so. It is not for me to stand here and give you the lecture. I think that I've served my time. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that the lecture you're about to hear, public service broadcasting, the good, the bad, and the ugly, would stimulate debate, We should ensure that GBC continues to remain a leader in the broadcasting industry as it has always been. Without much ado, I wish everyone an unforgettable afternoon. Please enjoy yourself. Thank you. You are most welcome.
Please keep the hands going for him after taking his seat. Sometimes you quickly have to really pinch yourself to realize that, hey, I'm not supposed to really do that. And he said, well, for him not to deliver the lecture. Quickly, we'll go for the formal welcome address, and that will be done by the Deputy Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, Mrs. Francisca Chitodonto. Please put your hands together for GBC.
Chairman and members of the National Media Commission, Your Excellencies, ambassadors from our various countries around the world, board members of GBC, past board members of GBC, past directors general of GBC, and Nananum, retired staff of GBC, my colleague, management, and staff. Good afternoon. I know that the board chair has welcomed you, but as the host, I am here to give you the formal welcome. And it is with great pleasure that I do this, to welcome you to Studio One of Ghana Broadcasting Corporation for the fifth in the series of commemorative lectures to mark the 80th anniversary of GBC. To our viewers watching on television and on all our 15 FM radio stations across the country, I also welcome you. Throughout its 80 years of existence, GBC has carried the responsibility of promoting national cohesion and development, as well as tolerance towards different views and positions. And this has enhanced the democratic debate and discussion. There is a broad acknowledgement of the role which GBC can and must play for the national interest and public good. However, for several reasons, there have been times when GBC has not been able to carry out this role as effectively as it should. It is therefore incumbent upon all of us to guard the role of the public service broadcaster jealously, to keep the national voice alive and public. At this challenging juncture in the broadcasting industry in this country, that is migrating to digital transmission, this afternoon's lecture under the topic Public Service Broadcasting, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, to be delivered by the Director General, Major Albert John Chebe, retired, will undoubtedly add to the multiplicity of voices and diversity in thoughts on public service broadcasting in Ghana. But in doing so, I believe it would contribute in a very meaningful way to ensuring that GBC becomes a true public service broadcaster, which not only reflects the nation back to itself, but also helps the nation to grow and develop. As the challenges facing the industry become more and more complex, it is even more imperative that we sustain our position of being a reliable source of information, the authentic and trusted voice of Ghana. I believe that the insights that the DG's lecture will be sharing with us today will add a new and important dimension to our national debate on public service broadcasting, and will also focus our collective thinking on ensuring the sustainability of GBC as a true public service broadcaster to the benefit of our people and country. It is often said that it is only when a vision is shared and validated by others that its value is realized and it begins to exert some force upon other minds. It is my conviction that this lecture will exert force upon other minds. I'm certain that you are all eager for me to get out of the way so the program can proceed. I'll do just that. It gives me great pleasure, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, to say a very warm and sincere welcome to you once again. And I know that you will find the lecture of considerable interest and immense value. Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Thank you very much to Deputy Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. Let's quickly acknowledge the presence of some few personalities here. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of the GBC board. They were just inaugurated this Monday, and we say congratulations to them. Interestingly, six of such, majority of the board members actually were maintained, and that's a good one. We say congratulations to all of them. We say also welcome the presence of the Czech Republican Ambassador to Ghana, Margarita Fasuva. If you're here, Your Excellency Margarita Fasuva, if you're here. We also welcome His Excellency Dmitry Sosnov, who is the Ambassador of Russia here in Ghana. We acknowledge the presence of Ambassador David Anagla, the former Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. Acknowledge the presence of Madam Eva Loku, former Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. And also the presence of Madam Doris Kuhn, former Director of Corporate Affairs of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. We'll acknowledge the other personalities too as we go on with the show. Also welcome and acknowledge the presence of Nana Barima Techi, Abiam the first, the chief of Ampabami of Finso. This GBC anniversary lecture is brought to you by Unique Flora, your premier house of flowers and event design, by the Broadcasting Employers Cooperative Credit Union, Beku, a happy family, and the New Times Corporation. We also have sponsorship coming from Blue Skies, Revitalize the Ghanaian in You. I've got a surprise for you, and usually with surprises, it's not supposed to be told. Can I tell you the surprise? You don't want to know about it. It's not supposed to be told, but I wish to tell you the surprise. Just to keep the anxiety down for you. Should I tell you? I got you all there. Okay. Now, I have a surprise for you. Let's see what the surprise is all about.
I think they are modernizing the equipment from the... There are certain things, I think they are improving upon it.
Sports, many just when I'm wearing sports, you know, how you analyze after the sports, you know, how you analyze how it goes on, how the players.
My morning show, you know, so you're very interesting. As I said, the issues, but Emma, the Hunya Meni Susan, I said, the Baba Boy, then, the Sifa come.
I like the local news. The local news because it's now promoting the local languages around, since even teachers are now supposed to use some of the local languages in the school.
I really like GTV Sports Club because it's all about sports and I'm a footballer actually. I do play, so I learn from it. Like Obna Yeboah, for instance, I like him very much because he tends to inspire we the kids.
I like Radio Ghana News because they are precise, they are time conscious, yes, and I believe in their authenticity.
I like watching Legends of Our Time and the Science and Maths piece.
So I like the English concept.
Yemishe no, morning program no, breakfast show no. Eya mo ba no pa, mo ye jitri kakra. Ase, ahon babwa no nsoni. Ti, eya ne nse da nye smooth. Kwa di abese 15 minutes ansana, e take you off ye. Ahon mo she ne kakra nka, be better.
The morning show, the way it's brought up, it's like, some of the facts are not real. If you look at other morning shows, like they have facts, the guests they brought for them to come and see, it's like they have more thought about the facts, but I'm not seeing that in GC.
The only program
program I do watch is GTV Sports Plus, like the sports channel, and I think the news. But with others, if they should do a little bit much better with the presentation and other stuff, it will go far.
Some programs are too outdated, like Talking Point, Cantata, and this account drama in Ghana and things. No? Last time I watched one, it was way, way back. I think you guys should improve upon it and at least make it look better with the scripts and everything, because the sets in those things are way, way back. So I don't think it's now improving, and it's now kind of depicting what's going on really in the system now. The stories are way, way back.
But, as I say, some of you, the my news, you know, I know this man, he was my friend. My young ones in Bremen.
There's nothing I don't like about radio. I think it's okay. By the standards from other radios, I think Radio Ghana News is okay.
The one which is updated are the old movies. Some example are the Cantata and the rest.
I only listen to them.
To improve on your work, I think there must be some educative program and other documentary programs, yeah.
I remember when I was kid, when the Saturday, even when I'm asked to go anywhere, no, I'm coming to. And there were more values in it, but we are now in the show time where different types of talents were exhibited, but nowadays you don't see all those programs.
So you should have more educative programs, youth programs to attract the youth, because mostly it looks like the session is for the old and the elderly in the system, but you should make it more youth-filled kind of thing like that, because sometimes I watch your station and some programs from your news, I hardly see any young people in it. Most of the time, so they're addressing kind of depicts elderly women in those things. But I want to see more vibrant youth in your programs and all that.
One person casting isn't really good, but maybe one or two person joining them to cast the news will be better.
They've done good so far. There's better as a challenge, so they should just keep working on it.
When you compare it to CNN, yeah, I think that it should be more interactive. It should be more interactive, and then we should go out and get the real thing that is going on, not from what people are saying.
The news, yeah. We do the American time today. Yeah, we news now. But my kids are on time. So maybe I'm better than baby. Now we say, oh, we say 1:07. I know 1:07. The time, no, we catch it on the menu.
She said, once I buy, you know, moon to me fighting, I'm on ya subvention. Sikana I buy more no. And so say, you know, I buy off. At least 40% crack a GBC. I'm one kasa modi yeni ama. It will be better. But who by Jigiska, Nenny Yakwa Bango, as I know I have a fracas at Atro Ako. Now a corner and Maya.
TBC choir. Thank you very much. Please keep your hands together for them as you take that seat. And I hope you liked my surprise. I have another one for you, but that will be after the lecture. Our speaker for this afternoon has a varied career. Will be described as what I would describe as a portfolio of career for him. First, as a lecturer in English at the University of Ghana, Lagos. He also served in the Ghana Armed Forces for 15 years in the Directorate of Public Relations upon his voluntary retirement in 1991 after the distinguished service, during which he participated in a number of peacekeeping operations under the auspices of the United Nations. He was appointed a corporate affairs manager at the Ghana Breweries Limited. He later worked at the Ministry of Public Sector Reforms in 2005 as a communications consultant. He became the head of corporate communications and customer care at Ghana Telecom and Vodafone Ghana. He joined the Millennium Development Authority as Director of Community and Public Outreach in 2009. He was the Director of Corporate Planning and Communication at the Export Development and Agriculture Investment Fund, that's EDIF. He was the former president of the Institute of Public Relations Ghana, and he's a member of the Ghana Bar Association. So, ladies and gentlemen, our speaker, once a teacher, he's a military man. There's a saying that goes that once a soldier, always a soldier. He's a communication expert. He's a lawyer. What a combination. And he happens to be the head of the biggest media house in this country. This is one man who's got a lot of experience to share with us this afternoon. He's going to speak with us on the topic, public service broadcasting, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ladies and gentlemen, help me to welcome Major Albert Kontribe Retard.
Mr. Chairman, Chairman and members of the National Media Commission, Your Excellencies, members of GVC Board, former Directors General, former Board Members, Chief Executives of Media Companies present, distinguished invited guests, management and staff of GVC, our retired GVC staff, our esteemed viewers, discerning listeners, colleagues from the media, ladies and gentlemen. Traditionally, as chief host, I should be making my usual welcoming remarks and thankfully step off the podium, relax in my seat, and enjoy a fascinating speech from a distinguished speaker on public service broadcasting. Today, however, I don't have that luxury, since I have been thrust into the loneliness of this podium and challenged to submit my views, and I dare say my vision, in the matter of public service broadcasting. This is a subject that has engaged my attention since assuming leadership of the grand old lady, Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, or Nana GBC, as fondly christened by Auntie Joyce when she took her turn on this podium in April. Indeed, engaged may be rather tame or neutral to describe my recent fixation with this subject. Obsession may be a better description. So don't be alarmed if I let fly a few sparks during my lecture. Mr. Chairman, distinguished viewers, discerning listeners, my topic today is public service broadcasting, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The topic was inspired by the epic 1966 spaghetti western film, also known as cowboy film. Spaghetti, by the way, spaghetti westerns were cowboy films made in Italy or produced by Italians, starring Clint Eastwood as the good, Lee Van Cleef as the bad, and Eli Wallach as the ugly, competing to find a cache of gold buried in a cemetery during the American Civil War. Growing up in various military barracks in Accra, Ho, Takoradi, and Tamale in the 60s and 70s, cinema was the most popular entertainment choice for military families. The Ghana Armed Forces continued to retain links with the British Army's cinema distribution organization called the Army Cinema Corporation, or AKC, which was established during the Second World War to maintain the morale of troops on the front line by screening elevating and spirit-uplifting documentaries about Mother Britain and her colonies, and concurrently supplying propaganda films about soldiers and the heroics of military life to families at home to take their minds from the anxieties and fears of husbands dying in battle. The AKC distributed films to all military barracks in Ghana on a regular basis, and soldiers and their families enjoyed movies twice weekly as the officers, warrant officers, and other ranks messes respectively. Those were the glorious days of the cinema. Alas, the last time I checked the purpose-built cinema house at Burma Camp, where we triumphantly skipped classes to watch films, it had been converted into a church. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly was a phenomenal hit with us teen boys, and many of us dreamt of becoming cowboys roaming in the wild in the mold of the good guy that is Clint Eastwood. Even though no research has been done on the deleterious effects of imbibing such a heavy dose of war films, cowboy films, and martial arts or kung fu films at such an impressionable age, I will stick my neck out to speculate that this intoxicating cocktail of action films may be partially accountable for the high incidence of military children of my generation desperately opting for a military career, even when other more relatively safer career options beckoned. So, what has a cowboy film released in 1966 got to do with public service broadcasting? One may ask, what is good, bad, or ugly about public service broadcasting. Mr. Chairman, on the face of it, the term public service broadcasting would appear self-explanatory. Unfortunately, however, a study of the literature suggests that this seemingly simple concept is the object of some discord, differences, and disagreements. Ghana's draft broadcasting bill, yet to receive Parliament's stamp of approval, describes public service broadcasting as, and I quote, "the delivery of broadcasting services through radio and television by a statutory corporate body, wholly or substantially public funded," unquote. Having evaluated several definitions of public service broadcasting, I have come to rest with the definition offered by UNESCO, and I quote, "Public service broadcasting is broadcasting made, financed, and controlled by the public for the public. It is neither commercial nor state-owned, and is free from political interference and pressure from commercial forces," unquote. Mr. Chairman, to get our teeth deeper into public service broadcasting, it may be useful to situate it properly within the global broadcasting landscape. First, it is important to state that public service broadcasting is largely a recent broadcasting phenomenon, the youngest in a troika of broadcasting models, with state broadcasting and commercial broadcasting being the other models. Public service broadcasting was developed as a kind of compromise between state broadcasting and commercial broadcasting because early in the 20th century, shortly after the advent of broadcasting, it became apparent to society that there were inherent weaknesses in the two dominant systems, that is, state broadcasting, the dominant system in all socialist and totalitarian one-party states like North Korea, and commercial broadcasting, which held sway in capitalist countries with the U.S. as the standard bearer. Civil society developed deep mistrust equally of the ability of the market-oriented broadcaster to disseminate information purely in the interest of the public, as well as the reliability of state broadcasters doing the bidding of politicians to discharge the same responsibilities with the public interest as the abiding imperative. In Model Public Service Broadcasting Law, Dr. Werner Rumphaust, an acknowledged broadcasting expert, observed, and I quote, "Public service broadcasting is a unique concept where a country has had a tradition of state broadcasting. The first obstacle to clear is understanding the real nature of public service broadcasting, which is anything but state, government, or official broadcasting." This mindset of government, state, official broadcasting afflicts many persons in our part of the world. Here, public service broadcasting is sometimes freely interchanged with state, government, or official broadcasting. Indeed, many of our local languages have no direct equivalent of the term public service, which would clearly distinguish public service from state, government, or official. Consequently, most translations do great disservice to public service broadcasting. Mr. Chairman, though there is no universal gold standard for good public service broadcasting, best practice and consensus have coalesced around the following factors as the key criteria for determining whether a broadcaster qualifies to wear the accolade public service. 1. Universality. The public service broadcaster must be accessible to all citizens throughout the country. 2. Diversity. The services offered should be diverse in terms of programming, audiences, and subjects covered. 3. independence, the public service broadcaster must be a forum where ideas should be expressed freely and information, opinions, and criticisms circulate without hindrance. 4. Distinctiveness. Services offered by the public service broadcaster must be significantly distinguishable from that of other broadcasting services. 5. Governance. The public service broadcaster must be controlled by a body appointed directly or indirectly by the public. Funding. Last, but looming large over the above-mentioned factors, is the funding model. In fact, many commentators have argued that the true test of any public service broadcaster is its funding model and how independent that model is from governmental control and manipulation, as well as commercial pressures and enticements. As the popular victim goes, and Chairman mentioned it, he who pays the piper calls the tune. This is probably succinctly appropriate in reference to public service broadcasting. The main forms of financing for public service broadcasters around the world are direct government grants, license fees, advertising, and voluntary contributions. The evidence is that most public service broadcasters use a combination of two or more, with varying effects on their claim to being good public service broadcasters. Now, I shall take you through the various funding models. 1. Government grants. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation, for example, is funded by special parliamentary appropriation, tailor-made and monitored closely to ensure sufficient provision of funding to guarantee a high standard, innovative and comprehensive broadcasting services, programs that contribute to a sense of national identity and reflect the diversity of Australia, and broadcasting programs of an educational nature. 2. Hybrid funding models. The South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC, for example, is funded by a combination of advertising, license fees, sponsorships, and investment income. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, on the other hand, was originally financed with license fees, supplemented with advertising, when it was established in 1936. However, due to a demand of citizens for a service essential for the maintenance and enhancement of national identity and cultural sovereignty, the license fee was abolished in the 1950s and replaced by a handsome annual grant from Parliament, supplemented by advertising. The Canadian decision was not unconnected to the fact that living in close proximity to their giant neighbor, USA, Canadian policymakers were acutely aware of the social and cultural dangers posed by the all-conquering U.S. entertainment industry, unless special funding was created to safeguard the unique cultural heritage and ethnic mix of Canada. In India, the Prasa Bharati Review Committee considered many options for funding public service broadcasting in India, finally recommended a hybrid system of funding, including government grants, program sales internationally, exploitation of new media business, hiring of facilities to outside production groups, and providing uplinking services to support the wide and varied programming required to serve the 1.1 billion citizens of India. 3. The license fee model. The license fee, as the only or principal source of funding, is actively implemented in a number of countries, including the United Kingdom, Germany, Namibia, and Mauritius. The license fee funding model has been described as arguably the best method for funding public service broadcasting, because it is largely independent of government or commercial pressures. This model ensures that it is the people who pay for the public service broadcaster, not the government. So the finances of the entity do not form part of the government's annual spending reviews or budget estimates. Additionally, the fee is not subject to the vagaries of a country's economic cycles. And unlike advertising-sponsored media, the license fee also insulates the public service broadcaster from commercial pressures in respect of program, content, and scheduling. Finally, the license fee infuses citizens with a sense of ownership of the public service broadcaster, compelling management to be more responsive and accountable to their citizen owners. With this backdrop, one would naturally ask, where does the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation stand in the community of public service broadcasting stations? At the commissioning of the first broadcasting station, Station ZOI, on 31st July 1935, the colonial governor, Sir Arnold Hodgson, said, and I quote, "Broadcasting opens up a new horizon and brings the latest news to our doors. It is very similar to the magic stone we read about in fairy tales. We press a button and we are transported to London. Again, we press a button and we listen to some of the greatest operas in Berlin." Unquote. According to the late Professor P. A. V. Yansan, I quote, "Broadcasting was primarily aimed, that is in 1935, at enabling Europeans in Africa to maintain cultural and political links with the metropolitan countries," unquote. After independence in 1957, GBC evolved from a colonial broadcasting entity into a state broadcaster committed to nation building, as well as playing a crucial role in the continuing struggle against colonialism. Inaugurating the external service of Radio Ghana in 1958, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah said, and I quote, "From this station, commentaries and news talks will be broadcast every day, giving Ghana's standpoint on international and political affairs. These programs must reflect all that is best in the arena, in the area of the daily lives of our people. They must project all that is taking place in Ghana and in Africa generally," unquote. As a state broadcaster, GBC was required to, and I dare say, contributed significantly towards welding, molding, and harmonizing the young nation state, as well as helping to keep regimes in power because of its total control of the national airwaves. As we all know, and alluded to by Chairman again, before the advent of commercial broadcasting, all persons who intended to seize power invariably made a beeline for GBC Broadcasting House 3 after seizing some weapons from Bema Camp or some other military barracks. The relics of those painful days, the sandbagged defensive positions, the armored personnel carriers, and the ubiquitous presence of my former comrades in arms are still here with us, 23 years after the coming into force of the 1992 Constitution. Mr. Chairman, prior to 1992, even though the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation Act, 1968, NLCD 226 clearly stated at section 8.1 that, and I quote, "The corporation shall provide as a public service independent and impartial broadcasting services, sound and television for general reception in the Republic," unquote. GBC was proudly, overtly, and truly a state broadcaster, supervised and governed by either the Minister or Secretary for Information. The culture among GBC content producers was often more of being civil servants rather than journalists or creative persons. The dominant expectation was loyalty to the government of the day, rather than to the ethics of politically impartial journalism. Mr. Chairman, past broadcasters, some in the audience and some still working here, can entertain you with bittersweet anecdotes of the politics of broadcasting of the time and the intrigues of the newsroom, which blighted careers and destroyed dreams. Apart from the climate of suspicion and mistrust, which confounded creativity, sapped the imagination, and strangled innovation. Thankfully, the National Media Commission Act 1993, Act 449, came as a veritable burst of sunlight on GBC. Mandated by law to, quote, insulate the state-owned media from governmental control, unquote, among other functions, Act 449 triggered the journey of transformation of GBC from the ugliness of a state broadcaster to the goodness of a public service broadcaster. The journey to full public service commenced with great promise, especially when the TV Licensing Regulations 1991, LI 1520, unveiled a fairly reasonable TV licensing fee to ensure that GBC could operate without either the overbearing influence of government or the attractions of crass commercialism. 3,000 cedis then, equivalent to 30 pesos today, was a reasonable fee in the political economy of the time. With additional funds from the license fee and an independent regulatory commission in place to insulate and protect staff, there was great expectation that GBC would grow to provide an African answer to famed public service broadcasters like the BBC, DW, that is Deutsche Welle, SABC, and CFR, Canal France International. Unfortunately, the journey of GBC from state broadcaster to public service broadcaster was negatively affected by the reluctance of governments from 1991 to 2014 to revise the TV license fee, which still stood at 30 pesos by the end of 2014, and that is 30 pesos per annum, end of 2014. The abysmally low level of this fee can only be truly appreciated when converted into US dollars and matched against other prevailing license fees, not in Europe, not in Asia, not in Australia, but in Africa. While the 30p rate in Ghana was worth 8 cents a year, the TV license fee in South Africa was equivalent to 35 US dollars or 140 Ghana cedis. Namibia was 33 US dollars or 132 Ghana cedis, and Mauritius 32 US dollars or 130 Ghana cedis. Certainly, the failure to review the TV license fee when the cedi was depreciating and devaluing dramatically from 1993 to 2014 severely impacted the capability of GBC to execute its mandate and also exert its independence as a public service broadcaster. Furthermore, this financial incapacitation undermined GBC's ability to produce content that was captivating, elevating, and fulfilling in order to retain the eyeballs of viewers and the ears of listeners. Finally, the crippled financial status of GBC made it impossible for the corporation to replace obsolete equipment, revamp studios, and sponsor much-needed capacity-building courses to keep ahead of new, agile commercial broadcasters with unlimited access to capital. Mr. Chairman, distinguished viewers and listeners, funding for public service broadcasting must be predictable over a 3 to 5 year period at any point in time. If the funding model does not ensure reliable, predictable, and guaranteed funds, the public service broadcaster becomes vulnerable to several unpalatable pressures aimed at controlling or influencing it. Consequently, for GBC, what was achieved in the days shortly after the coming into force of Act 449 was eroded as a result of the failure to adjust the TV license fee to reflect the falling value of the currency. The inevitable result was that the public service principles and status of GBC became severely compromised and consequently badly dented. Mr. Chairman, having identified funding as the biggest obstacle to a public service broadcaster achieving its real and actual status, it is refreshing to announce that after 23 long years, the current parliament finally revised TV license fees upwards a few months ago. We take this opportunity to thank parliament and especially the chairman of the Select Committee on Subsidiary Legislation, Honorable Obi Amwa, the ranking member, Honorable Cletus Avoka, and the other honorable members for approving this vital ingredient for the success of public service broadcasting in Ghana. Our gratitude also goes to our key stakeholders, Ministry of Communications, National Media Commission, and the Ministry of Finance, not forgetting our commercial colleagues and rivals, the Ghana Independent Broadcasters Association, GIBA, for playing various complementary and supporting roles to make this revision a reality. The revision of the TV license fee from 30 pesos per annum to 3 Ghana cedis per month for domestic owners of one TV set provides GBC with the brightest opportunity to complete the final leg of our three-stage journey from an ugly state broadcaster through a bad hybrid towards the ideal state of good public service broadcasting. As a good public service broadcaster, GBC will be beholden to none but the good citizens of Ghana and dependent on them for survival. Mr. Chairman, as intimated earlier in this presentation, it is essential for public service broadcasting to be significantly different from commercial broadcasting or state broadcasting in many respects. One line of activity which distinguishes public service broadcasting from the others and also provides a solid and tangible return to a country is education broadcasting or educational broadcasting. Knowing how passionate Ghanaians are about education, it is surprising that Ghana has never established a national open university, as exists in the UK, Nigeria, Malaysia, Thailand, etc. Recently, distance education has become a big fad, and distance learning programs have succeeded in transforming the lives and careers of several otherwise disadvantaged citizens in remote and hard-to-reach parts of Ghana. Given the extent and range of television and the significant successes chalked by the combination of television and education in several emerging economies, it is surprising that the school's broadcast program on GBC have remained limited in scope without any overarching strategic national goals and objectives. As far back as 1963, our first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, informed Parliament that, and I quote, "Ghana's television will be used to supplement our educational program and foster a lively interest in the world around us." Today, we sit on the cusp of the digital wave sweeping across the world, this which has consigned analog broadcasting to the dustbin. Indeed, a week ago, the international deadline for all countries to migrate to digital broadcasting passed. Not to be left behind, GBC has succeeded in providing digital broadcasting services in the Greater Accra and Ashanti regions. With support from the Ministry of Communications, we expect digital broadcasting services to be available in another four regions, that is the Northern, Upper East, Upper West, and Volta regions by December 2015, and the Western, Central, and Eastern regions by February 2016. By the end of the first quarter of 2016, Ghana should be at par with all other digitally enabled countries. Digital technology, when applied to broadcasting, opens up huge opportunities for several valued added services to the public. The advent of digital broadcasting provides GVC with its greatest opportunity to operate a number of channels at comparatively low cost. Currently, GVC operates 6 digital channels. We have plans to bring on stream another 4 channels in the next 24 months. As some development experts have observed, lower middle income countries like ours will never achieve upper middle income status without a much better and highly informed population. In spite of the best efforts of formal distance education, research reveals that to achieve upper middle income in a country, that country should have at least 20% of its citizens having acquired tertiary education or professional or vocational training equivalent to the tertiary level. Several countries in Asia that have lifted themselves from third world to first world within a generation have operated extensive open universities which have offered opportunities for any citizen with or without formal education to access quality education and acquire useful professional and vocational training through special non-profit educational public service broadcasting. The joint venture between Indian Television, All India Radio, and the Indira Gandhi Open University is a good example. In our environment of non-availability of qualified teachers, poor logistics, and under-resourced educational institutions, collaboration between the Ministry of Education and the public service broadcaster could bring first-class tuition to all senior high school classrooms in remote and rural parts of Ghana. Thailand Television Classroom is an easily adaptable concept which could be rolled out with minimal resources. With insignificant technology, this project converted normal classrooms in one relatively excellent school into studios. With teleconference facilities, students in remote rural schools were linked to these classrooms and benefited from the same tuition offered by first-class tutors at this leading school. Just imagine, all science and maths classes at a high-performing school like St. Augustine's College, Cape Coast. For example, being shared with students of the senior high school in my village in the Upper West region. With the current shortage of teachers in foreign languages, maths, and the sciences, collaboration between GBC, Ministry of Education, and the distance learning faculties of various universities could establish specialist classroom studios at a few high-performing senior high schools where lessons would be available to all Ghanaian school children via television. Similar programs exist in the Philippines, Australia, Korea, Malaysia, Indonesia, Fiji, etc. The marriage of digital technology, special educational curricula with public service broadcasting holds the greatest promise for lifting the masses of our people from ignorance and illiteracy in the shortest possible time, in order to accelerate our drive to upper middle income status. Mr. Chairman, distinguished listeners and viewers, when it comes to the preservation of national culture and identity, there can be no better servant than the public service broadcaster. As our culture, traditions, and heritage receive an avalanche of blows daily from the agents of globalization, there is an abiding need to reinforce the foundations of our national heritage and culture. Public service broadcasting should be our national fortification against the invidious and insidious influences that invade our homes through satellite broadcasting. Indeed, as far back as 1965, Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah remarked at the inauguration of Ghana Television, and I quote, "The arts, music, drama, and culture of a growing and advancing nation and the spirit and emotions of our people must find expression in our television," unquote. For obvious reasons, commercial broadcasting is preoccupied with the bottom line and ordinarily will broadcast material that attract viewers, no matter whether the content is subversive of Ghanaian culture or detrimental to our societal values. A good public service broadcaster, on the other hand, must develop content and programs to celebrate and popularize the culture, traditions, and values of our nation. Part of GBC's public service mandate is to be the standard bearer of Ghanaian values. And at the same time, act as the audiovisual archives for national events and a dependable storehouse of our history. A cursory review of peak time television programming in Ghana today should activate all nationalist alarm bells. Considering the assortment and variety of foreign content from especially South and Central America and South Asia on our screens, I won't mention it. It is only a good public service broadcaster who can garner the resources to launch the cultural counterattack which is necessary to wrestle back the initiative in order to safeguard our culture and heritage. Our aim is to return to a minimum of 70% local Ghanaian content in the short term, rising steadily to 90% in the medium term. A good public service broadcaster is a multiplier for employment, since local productions will employ local production studios, local artists, actresses and actors, and stimulate vibrancy in the local arts and entertainment scene. A good public service broadcaster, which has the resources to commission high-quality local programs, shall be able to sell local productions internationally. With adequate funding, a good public service broadcaster should produce Ghanaian historical drama depicting the lives and achievements of famous ancestors like Okonfanochi, Ndewure Ajapa, Osei Tutu, John Mensa Saba, to name but a few. Mr. Chairman, discerning listeners, our esteemed viewers, good public service broadcasting is in its infancy in Ghana, even though we are celebrating the 80th anniversary of GBC. Through our collective acts of omission and commission, GBC has not been able to perform at the highest levels as a public service broadcaster. Though laudable and valiant efforts were made in 1993 to reposition GBC as a good public service broadcaster, these attempts were largely unsuccessful because we did not support this initiative with a guaranteed, secure, and independent source of funding, compelling GBC to continue to knock on the doors of reluctant governments and the fickle market for funds. As explained earlier, any public service broadcaster beholden to partisan governments directly or capricious markets for funding is certainly not likely to be able to succeed as a good public service broadcaster. That is why the recent upward review of TV license fees provides GBC with a unique opportunity to emerge from the gloom of ugly public service broadcasting into the sunlight of good public service broadcasting. Finally, Mr. Chairman, distinguished invited guests, discerning listeners, esteemed viewers, as we celebrate 80 years of life, the board management and staff in GVC wish to assure you that we are working diligently and feverishly to create a refreshed, reformed, reinvigorated Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, glowing with revitalized energy, in order to provide the kind of good public service broadcasting services that Ghana deserves for the next 80 years and more. Thank you.
Thank you very much, the Director General of Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, for this detailed lecture, for describing it as such. And he touched on various aspects too, and the magic that the TV Lanterns is really going to do to all of us and for all of us, especially for into public service broadcasting. I mentioned to you earlier that I also have my own side of the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good bit is when there's some bit of announcement, and Ghanaians would like first to know what GBC is saying. Whatever GBC is saying is the truth. Any other thing said from any other media house, it's not taken. That's another good thing. Another good thing is the civility that at which we broadcast. We just do not talk. We just do not say anything at all. And I can proudly say that back at Radio Unique FM, of course on GTV, we don't really apologize, because we don't really issue rejoinders, because we do our checks and do it very well. So we'll put information out there, we know it's once and for all. I hope you will clap when I do the bad and the ugly. Now, the bad. We go off air sometimes too much. You know, clapping? We go off air sometimes too much, both radio and television, and our viewers and listeners are really talked about it passionately, and thank God that at least the TV lenses will help solve some of our technical challenges. The ugly. Sometimes you're watching this interesting program on television, especially a very beautiful movie. You're so locked up into it, and suddenly it cuts off just like that. You're not told anything, nothing just happens, and whether it's going to be repeated or not, you just do not know about it. Sometimes it's even cut with a commercial. You're hoping that it's going to be back, so you're just waiting, only for you to see talking points on your screen. So we hope and pray that with the introduction of the TV license, which of course the public service broadcaster is going to enjoy a lot, some of these things and some of these challenges will quickly be done with once and for all. Once again, let's put our hands together for the Director General of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation. Before I welcome the chairman for his closing remarks, let's once again acknowledge some few personalities in our midst. We have the Deputy Minister for Communications with us, Munawatu Sapon, is here with us. We also have the Managing Director of New Times Corporation, Madam Carol Annan, she's also here with us. And we welcome them. We would like to call upon once again the chairman of this program and, of course, the board chairman of Ghana Broadcasting Corporation for his closing remarks. Sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to ask you to give another round of applause to Major Kinsebe. I've taken a fair bit of your time, so I don't intend to say much. But during the lecture of Major Kinsebe, I saw the English lecturer in him. You could feel that there's someone who's taught English. You could also feel the military presence in him to launch an attack on counter attack. And in above all, you could see the manager in him, somebody who really
has assumed an organization which has, and I'll say, has gone through the ugly, getting out of the bad, and an organization who's going to be helped seriously to be good. By the introduction of the TV license. And as he rolled out the funding models all throughout and finally landed on the use of the TV license as the best model, I knew something was coming. Now we've got the TV license. Fees revised. The song says, now that we have found love, what are we going to do with it? We have been given the authority, we have been given a revision from 30 odd persons per television set to 36 Ghana cedis per television a year. In dollar terms, it's still, let's say, how much? $9. Still doesn't compare with South Africa, still doesn't compare with Namibia, still doesn't compare with Mauritius. But it is good enough for Ghana. It's good enough for GBC. So please let us address our minds to collecting the fees. But the law by itself will not bring in the fees. So I want to urge all of us here, management, the board, workers, to put in the kind of measures that would bring in the fees, that would help do all of the good things that, you know, the DG has said. And I wish to appeal to all Ghanaians to be good citizens and pay these fees without grumbling or complaining, or to link this to somebody being insensitive or that kind of stuff. Let us pay these fees and hope that GBC will deliver, you know, what we expect, you know, from GBC. You know, I don't want to see tomorrow the calculated, you know, from 30 persons to 36. The percentage increase is mind-boggling. But in absolute terms, it really doesn't mean much. So I want to appeal to all of us to accept the new increases, to willingly pay, and to help GBC to deliver the goods and be the true public service broadcaster that we all want GBC. Thank you very much for your attention, and hope to see you again at the next lecture. Yes, thank you for coming.
Take unique out and the rest.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. When we had the surprise for you, that's the Vox Pop, one of them said that he sees a lot of old faces on television. Actually, one early man said that there's one newscaster who happens to be his friend and is still on television. I was really wondering whether he keeps really, or does really watch DTV and other channels of ours. To give us a vote of thanks is one of our young newscasters. She's young, she's energetic, she's got that voice, she's got the style, she's got that panache that makes you so attractive when you want to watch television. Ladies and gentlemen, for the vote of thanks, Miss Gifty Ajayi, please we have to get a good one.
Thank you, Josh. I didn't know if you were really talking about me. Thank you. Well, Mr. Chairman, Excellencies, members of the Board of Directors, invited guests, cherished viewers and listeners across the country, let us first give thanks to the Almighty God, without whom all that has transpired here this evening would be impossible and, of course, meaningless. We ask for more of his mercies and grace even as we go through the remaining activities marking our 80th anniversary. We are extremely grateful to our lecturer for today, Major Albert Donchebe, retired, the DG of the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, the institution we are actually celebrating today. And who else could better do justice to the topic of today than the protagonist himself? Say, GBC and Ghana will be grateful for generations to come, especially the times and future well-being of the corporation comes up for scrutiny. Thank you so much, sir. Last but not least, I take the opportunity to give special acknowledgement to all of you, especially excellencies, invited guests, the board and staff of GBC, the choir, and the audience and viewers of today's lecture, wherever you may be, that for your interest and support of this project we call the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, all we do will come to naught. Please continue to support us. We shall always be grateful. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Cheers and thanks.
Okay, now tell me, is that not a young newscaster? Is she not beautiful? You heard the voice alone. Please put your hands together and forgive me for the worst of times. Alhaji Musa Kassim, if you're here, please join me up here for the closing prayer. Alhaji, please put your hands together for Alhaji Musa Kassim for the closing prayer.
Take unique out and the rest are all the same.
Shall we pray? All praise and thanks be to Allah for bringing this 80th anniversary lecture to a successful end. We pray that may He continue to shower His blessings on GBC and Ghana as a whole. May He grant the management of GBC and the entire staff of GBC the wisdom, courage, and above all, the strength to carry out our duties as we are expected. All this we pray in Almighty Allah's name. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, Ihdina Siratal Mustaqim, Siratal Ladhina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayr Maghdubi Alayhim Wala Ad-Dallin. Amin.
Take your meat out and the rest are all the same.
Thank you very much, Alhaji. And that's it for today's lecture. We're going to have the last one for you. You know, usually when you're eating something very sweet and good meal, the last one left is the most great one for you. So we invite you again for the last lecture. Of course, we'll let you know as and when the time goes on. Thank you very much for your time. We're so grateful for your time. Thanks for your presence, too. And we wish you all the best. And don't forget, when you go home this evening, watch GTV and watch all our channels and listen to radio, to Unique FM Radio Ghana and all our regional FM stations. Refreshment is out there on the north. Thank you very much. My name is George Sapo and we'll see you some other time. Bye bye.